together and let's give a warm welcome to Pastor Lisa Boomer. Well, again, I am honored to be here. the day that I was invited, I looked at the invitation and I was like, okay, rise to power, rise to power. And so I began to pray about it. Lord, what would you have me to speak about? So I just kept asking, Lord, what would you have me to speak about? And my husband told me it's that simple. When you ask, he answers, right? And so I kept asking, and then I was listening. And I kept praying into the conference, rise to power. Rise to power. Then the Lord would deal with me regarding prayer. Prayer. And the only way to rise to power, to be empowered, to understand identity and unlock anything is to invest the time to create a culture of prayer. You have to. I'm going to say it again for those that are taking notes. You have to invest your time to create a culture of prayer. Amen? So there must be an urgency around prayer. We have to stop thinking of it so passively. Oh, it's an afterthought. Oh, it's a good thing. It's just a good idea to pray to the big man upstairs. No, there should be an urgency about prayer. It is our very life. It is our food. It is our food. It is our bread and our water for our souls. Amen. And before I start, I just want to tell you all, I did not come in here to condemn you by any means, but I sure did come to convict you right out of prayerlessness. To convict you, to come out of that place. It is a demonic place. The people of God, we pray, amen? The Bible says that men always ought to pray and not be faint. Always pray. And there is this misconception of what's right. What's the right thing to pray? Is this right? Is this okay? But our God understands every language. To my Espanol, he understands it, doesn't he? He understands that language. He understands my tongues, my English language, my understanding. He understands your tears. Our God understands your groans. When we pray as a people of God, when we create an urgency about prayer, he rushes in the room, doesn't he? He comes in the room when you call on his name. And I'm going to prove it to you. The Lord told me to do this, to prove it to you. When we pray, he comes in the room. So I want everybody to stand up on your feet. I'm going to prove that he comes in the room. When I count to three, I want everybody to go into prayer. Your spiritual language, if you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, me and Teresa will pray with you in a minute. But I want to prove to you, when I count to three, I want you to begin to pray for 10 to 15 seconds, and I guarantee you he'll come in the room. One, two, three. Yes, shalabando robo, kobatia pando robo. Push in the prayer, push in it. Hikamando robo, saye meke. Hikando robo, kobo osa. Come on, dig it, dig, dig in the prayer. Dig, hepa, lebaka. Come in the room, Jesus, hepa, robo. Jesus, Jesus. We call on your name, Jesus. Come in the room, Jesus. Hepando robo. Push in it, push in it, push in it, push in it. Yes, 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 stop. Stop. Feel his presence. Feel his presence. I guarantee you feel his presence. That is what happens when you pray as a people of God. That is what happens. And this is the only way that we function as a people of God. As if you are a Christian, that's how we function. We are a people that pray. And if we're going to be a woman that rise to power, we have to pray. And we have to create a culture of prayer. Amen. Y'all can be seated. It is our responsibility to check in with God. It is our responsibility. He's going to knock, but we have to answer the door. Are we going to be a people that pray? Tonight, we're all going to start on level 1. Level 1. And I don't need to offend you and say you don't pray, but when I was going to conference after conference after conference, there was two things that would happen to me. Number 1, I would just act like I was a part. I would just pretend that I was somewhere I was not. Or number two, I would just it was too advanced for me, so I would just completely check out, and I would be on my phone. So today we're all going to start at level one. Amen?
Amen?
Level one. So tonight we're all going to rise to power in prayer together. Amen. Shout amen.
Amen.
Shout
I pray.
So what is prayer? Prayer is a dialogue between you and God.
Amen.
A dialogue between
amen.
You and God. Prayer is intimacy with
yes.
you and God.
Yes.
Prayer is a partnership with you and God.
Yes.
Prayer is faith believing.
Yes.
Now, prayer is a whole bunch more than these four things that I just mentioned, but these are the things that I want to deal with. Amen? And until we have faith to believe that He is God and that He hears us, we will be inconsistent or we will be empty of prayer. So you first have to believe that He is God.
Yes.
He is God and He hears us. He is God. Amen?
Amen?
He hears us. So don't be inconsistent or empty of prayer. So I was reading Daniel. That was just a little intro. I was reading Daniel and I was reading chapter 6, right? So if you want to go to 6, verse 7. I'm just going to read to you.
Come on.
Daniel chapter 6, verse 7. It's going to be fun tonight, I promise.
Amen.
All the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now we know this scripture, right? Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, the king dares sign the document that it is the injunction. Now, when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered the house. Now in his room chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem, and he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing so previously. Now Daniel knew that if he prayed to God, he would be thrown in the lion's den. If he prays, we already know what we was doing, right? But if Daniel prays, he's going to be thrown in the lion's den. But because of dialogue with God, because of intimacy with God, because of partnership between him and God, and faith, no matter what threatened his life, he would keep praying. And we have all been there, right? Praying, here comes a bad report. Here comes a bad report. We're praying, and here comes the attack on my finances. And many times that will cause us to back down. But that's the time that we need to strap up and keep pushing. Amen? When fear comes, when lies come, sickness or intimidation or anything that will come to chip away at prayer, we have to be like Daniel. We need to go to the rooftop, look the enemy square in the face, get on our knees 3 times a day and tell the devil, ain't no way in hell I'm going to shrink back. I'm not shrinking back. Christ is our solid foundation, amen? And if we stand on Christ, our feet will not slip. Shall
I pray?
Yes, there must be an urgency. Because the enemy, he just doesn't want to kill. He wants to kill. He wants to steal and destroy our prayer life. And we have to decide if we're going to let him do it. It is your decision. But I know I have some powerful women in here, right? I have some powerful women in here, right? But we won't be shaken by the enemy. Now, I look back
scripture, and I can't stand up here and lie and act like I would be willing to jump in the den. They have teeth. And they're hungry. Oh Lord, please don't send me. I don't want to go. However, if I must go, I'm going in praying. Lord, you said you will not leave me nor forsake me under any circumstance. Surely, God, goodness and mercy follow them that believe. Hello? Lord, you said taste and see that you are a good God. I'm praying if I'm going in the den. Listen, the lion's den don't seem like a good way to go to heaven. It just doesn't. I don't want to go that way, Lord. Not by lions. Let me go in my sleep. Not the lion's den. So then they answered and spoke before the king. So now that he's got to go to the lion's den, now that Daniel has prayed, now they got to go and tell the king, right? Then he answered and spoke before the king. Daniel, who was one of the exiles from Judah, king, he don't pay no attention to what you said. None. You know you signed a king, but he's still making petitions. Not once, twice, but three times, Lord. Three times, oh king, he's praying, bending the knee to his God, right? Then as soon as the king heard the statement, What did I do? He was distressed, the Bible says, and he set his mind on delivering Daniel. And even until sunset, he was exerting himself to rescue him. He wasn't a believer, so he was exerting himself, pacing back and forth. I can see him in the story just, how am I going to help him? How am I going to help him? I signed this. It can't be changed. How else can I do it? How else can I do it? But then these men came by agreement to the king and said, king, and I'll just laugh because this word said, recognize, O king, that this is the law of Medes and Persians, that no injunction or statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought and cast into the lion's den. The king spoke and said to David, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. I mean, he don't even believe it. He prophesied. Your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. See, when you have a prayer culture, those around you will see the attempt of the enemy. Even if they don't believe like you, they will know he gonna be all right. He gonna be all right because of dialogue with God, because of intimacy with my God, because I have a partnership with my God, and I have a faith that will shift your mind and my mind. Reality is, things happen. Your lion's den could be divorce. It could be a loss of job. It could be sickness, anxiety, it could be anger, whatever it is, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. The Bible declares he is a mighty defender. He is our protector. The Lord is strong in us. The Lord is strong in us. One thing my husband says is all the time is, we didn't get this little baby Jesus in the manger. We got the full-grown Messiah with all power in heaven and in earth. Amen? We got that good Jesus. Shout, I pray. All right. Then the king went off to his place and spent the night fasting. And no entertainment was brought before him. And his sleep fled from him. When you have a prayer culture, people of God, will lay down Facebook for you. They will lay down Instagram and social media for you. They'll turn off the TV and stop watching This Is Us. Stop watching The Office episodes in your time of need. They will do what they have to do and for you in your crisis. Amen. The Bible says the king was fasting. You don't even believe like me, king. You fasting? Fasting. The king was fasting. That's what the Bible said. The king was fasting. No entertainment. No entertainment. He wanted the Lord to do something, but he didn't know how, so he just, I'm fast today. And then the king arose at dawn, at the break of day, and went in haste to the lion's den. When he had come near the den to Daniel, he cried out with a loud voice. Now let me paint the picture. So the lion's den, they had a big stone over it. So this wasn't a quiet conversation. I can imagine the king running. He hasn't slept all night long. He's been fasting. Now it's daybreak. So now he got to get down to the stone, to the lion's den to see did Daniel make it. And it said he made haste. I know he was running. He probably had a little trot. Like I said, it wasn't silent. I could imagine him because he had to get his voice down through the stone. Daniel! Daniel! Servant of the living God! Has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lion? Daniel! I can see him running over there shouting. And Daniel's with the lions. Now, if it was me, in the lion's den, I'm going to need you to bring it down a notch. I can hear you. Just turn it down. They're still hungry. But they're shouting because there's an exclamation point in my Bible. And it says, oh, king, live forever. That's what he told the king. Then Daniel spoke. Then he said, my God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions, and they have not harmed me, as I was found innocent before him. And also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. I ain't did nothing. And when I was reading that, y'all, people that know me know I find humor in the word. And I read, I have committed no crime. It made me just chuckle a little. I've committed no crime. There's no crime in praying. There is no crime in praying. But it is a crime not to pray. It is a crime against your future. It's a crime against your purpose. It's a crime. Amen. We see our brothers and sisters, I mean, getting snatched up by the enemy in defeat. And we don't pray. That's a crime. I mean, tortured and destroyed by the devil himself. You see your sister and brother, and we just, how you doing, blessed? Crime. Crime. That is a crime. But I promise I'm not meddling. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to convict you, right? Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den. No injury whatsoever was found on him because he had trusted God. He trusted God. And so I sat there and kept reading that over and over. He trusted God. How did he trust you in the den? Like, he had to be there. How did he trust you in the den? And the Lord said, no, daughter. The Lord said, no, daughter. No injury whatsoever was found on him because he trusted me in the beginning. When he knew the document was signed. And he still went on the rooftop and bowed the knee. He still went on the rooftop and trusted me, knowing the outcome. He knew he was going to be thrown in the lion's den if he prayed. But he trusted me and still prayed anyway. Because it was his culture. It was his culture. See, me, I would have been like, well, I ain't going to do it this time. I'm going to pray tomorrow when they're not watching. But I still believe God. He knows my heart. He knows our actions. We have to trust him at all times. Amen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. The Bible says, and we know for those who love God, all things work for the good that are called according to his purpose. Psalm 37 and 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. Isn't that a good scripture? You call on him. Commit your way and he's going to act. He's going to act. That blessed me. And I'm not going to be here before you long. The king then gave orders, and they brought those men who had maliciously accused Daniel. And they cast them, all their men, their children, and their beautiful wives into the lion's den. And they, the Bible says, they didn't even reach the bottom before the lions overpowered them. I mean, it crushed all their bones. The Bible is very graphic. You hear me? It said it crushed all their bones. They just got thrown in. Listen. I don't believe in the hater doctrine. We don't preach that, right? Because it's divisive. However, when people maliciously, and according to this, it says it means to devour, slander, accuse. God will 100% of the time vindicate you. You don't have to fight your own battle. It would always fail. Now, the last few verses of Daniel chapter 6 bless me because it shows the power of a culture of prayer. It shows the power of the culture of prayer. Then Darius the king wrote to all the people's nations and every language who were living in the land. May your peace abound, he said. That's how he started off. May your peace abound to everybody in the land, to every language. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before God of Daniel. For he is the living God and enduring forever. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. And his dominion will be forever. He delivers and rescues and performs signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. So Daniel enjoyed success. Daniel enjoyed success in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Shall I pray? Because of one man, one person. Because one person had a dialogue with God. Because one person had intimacy with God. One person had a partnership with God. This is one man that had faith in God. A decree went forth. A whole kingdom. I mean a whole kingdom. Was told to, you're going to praise the Lord, basically. Because of one prayer. One man. If we being many. If we being many humble ourselves and pray and seek his face, what could that change? What could that push back? Tonight, I declare that every last one of you, your prayer life will change tonight. It will be destroyed. It will be restored. Excuse me. It will be restored in Jesus' name. Everyone in standing, grab a hand. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever you soweth, that shall he also reap. Tonight, we're going to reap prayer for a prayer culture. You came to this conference expecting something. Tonight, I mean, dig into that thing. You know, in that area where you don't pray well, you don't pray every day. daughters. And he wants to hear from us. When we pray, like I said earlier, it calls him in the room. We have to pull him from heaven. Pull his presence in this room. You have to dig in that thing. We can't be lazy or shy. We can't say, that's not my culture. That's not who I am. And I used to say that, but I was the same person at the Spurs game shouting. I'm the same person watching the NBA Finals screaming at the TV, but I can't pray. The devil is a liar.
Help us.
Today, we're all going to start at level one. Just level one. 15 minutes a day. You can break it up, morning 5 minutes, lunch 5 minutes, dinner 5 minutes, boom, 15 minutes. Just to get you started. The Spirit of God, when you pray, and when you pray in the Spirit, it will empower you. Just like it says on the flyer, it will empower you. The Spirit, when we pray, it unlocks the mysteries of God. He starts navigating you. Pray for this sister. She's about to get in the car wreck. Come on, get up and pray. The mysteries of God. What does this scripture mean? The Lord drops the download in your spirit.
That's right.
We have to expect that because that is his word. It will unlock the mysteries of God. Amen? You will see yourself how God sees you. Identify yourself in Christ. When we identify ourselves in Christ, there's not a day that you will not pray. We will begin to just have joy. The Lord is just overflowing. When things, bad times come, it won't affect you. You'll just have that peace that passes all understanding. The peace of God, it will rest on your life when you pray. When you have a prayer culture. Amen. Do we want this prayer culture? Then I need everybody in this room praying. Amen? Everybody. And I'm not just talking about, Lord, thank you. I mean going in. Use your prayer language. It stirs you up. It fires you up. The fervent prayer of the righteous. Come on. That means hot. I'm praying myself hot. I remember this one time when I found out my dad was diagnosed with cancer. I prayed so hard that I had to go use the restroom. I know there's a man in here, I'm sorry. But I had to go use the restroom because I had prayed so intensely. Because I'm not allowing sickness to take my dad. Not that. And that's how the Lord wants to partner with that prayer. And that's how he wants to partner with us, amen? So everybody praying in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, women. Come on, women. Dig in.
See you, Lord. We want to see you in all your glory.
We push back the enemy. He brought the emotion. He talked the remote. Keep us pursuing. Hey, we will pursue you, O God. receive your power. Not by power, not by might, but by your spirit. Jesus, we are expanding our spirit. We have the capacity to pray. We have capacity to pray. We will expand our spirit in this house. In Jesus' name, expand us. In 15 minutes isn't long enough. Lord God, we desire you. We'll go 20. We'll go 25. We'll go 30. We'll go 35. We just want you, God. We're done. Give one more well in this house.
Get up so you can bring it down. You had to get up up there to break it down here.